Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Bishop Joel David Trout. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join Bishop Joel David Trout as he begins his message. And so, without any further ado, let's receive Bishop Joel David Trout by saying, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Fee. We appreciate all of you. It's good to be in this house, this house that has been dedicated as a Jewish synagogue or temple. But guess who God's people today are? That's you and I, the blood-washed ones. And we're taking charge of what is ours today because we've been grafted in. So I'm a black Jew, all right? And you're a Mexican Jew and Caucasian Jew and Filipino Jew because there's only one body, praise God. And we're the sons of Abraham. And we have the blessings of Abraham on our life. So it's great to be here with you, and we applaud and celebrate your great pastor, your pastor, Pastor Fee Solomon, Placido Solivin. Let's give him a hand. Praise God. It's a great blessing, and he is a model of what God can do if you make yourself available. I remember when he got saved and God changed his life, and he just went forth with eagerness. He didn't go to seminary. He just had desire and passion, and God said, I can use that. And some of us think you have to have credentials and all of that. Let me tell you something. There's plenty of folk with certificates and licenses and credentials and not doing anything. But if God finds a person who makes himself available, who has passion and feels a sense of purpose, God can use you. And we're standing here today because this place has been set aside, and we see the amazing grace. It's a wonderful name of a church because we've all experienced amazing grace. It wasn't just grace. It was amazing. Because for many of us, God had to do some extra stuff to get us and to get us right. And we celebrate you. Thank God for seeing some old faces that I had a blessing of pastoring over the years. The Quillochon family and Darcella and Sister Silva. So thank God for all of you that are with us and those that were with us before. Glad to have you this morning. Well, today I've got a message, and you know they have what is known as chick flicks, sisters. Well, today I have a love story message. And it comes from the most probably admired love story in Scripture that all the sisters love to hear about, from the book of Ruth today. Yeah, already. We love to hear about the love story of Ruth and Boaz. Every sister out there, if she knows about the story, she's trying to find her Boaz. Lord, if you can do it for her, you can do it for me. You know, this girl who finds this older guy who's rich, and he takes her from nothing and makes her queen. That's every woman's desire. And it is a story that resonates even today. But today, I want you to see that there's something even greater and that transcends the love story here. And that's what I want to preach to you about. I want to talk to you today, those of you who are struggling with God and his plan for your life and how things are working out. You know, you have your plans and you have reality. My question is, how's that working out for you? Exactly. Most of our desires and plans and our reality don't match. And very rarely do they ever get on the same page. You're not living where you thought you would live. You're not making the money you thought you would make. You're not the size you thought you'd ever be. Amen. The Coke bottle is now at 2 liters. It's reality. You know, there are people that say, I identify as, you know, I'm 400 pounds, but I identify as slender. That's what I identify as. Here's my desire. Here's the reality. This is who I thought I would be with, and this is who I'm with. This is how many kids I thought I'd have, and this is how many kids I really had. Exactly. I thought I'd have hair now. And sadly, you can see some of us are challenged, follically challenged. And so the question arises many times, and it affects your relationship with God. And it starts out with why. Well, why did this happen? And why did that have to happen? They told me that if I served you, then things would work out. And so far, it's not working like I thought it would. So let me just help you today. If you start out your prayers to God with why, you're going to be waiting a long time to hear an answer. And in fact, if God explained to you why, your brain would blow up because you could not engage and embrace all of the reasons why God has done something. But today, I've got a clue for you, and I've got a way for you to rest in the plan of God, and it's by doing this. You've got to connect the dots, and that's the message today. You're never going to get God until you connect God. You got to connect the dots. I grew up liking those puzzles. And sometimes when kids would go to a restaurant, they give the kids their own little placemat and it'd have games to keep them busy. And one of the games was connect the dots. And they'd be numbered so that you could follow them. And on the page, it looked like random chaos of just dots until you started to connect. 1, 2, 3, 4. And as you're connecting, eventually something comes and takes shape. Something that you recognize. Something real. But before you connected the dots, all you saw was randomness and chaos. I'm here to tell you that everything that's happening in your life, though it seemed random and chaotic, it was all a part of the plan of God. There's nothing that's happened to you that was random. God has a way of bringing what appears to be randomness in our life and somehow making sense out of it. And not just random, but what about some of the crazy stuff? The pain, the hurt, the struggle, the trouble. It seemed as if God's hand was against you. But today, by the time this message is over, I hope you have a connect the dot moment. And when you connect the dots, you're going to have an aha moment. I don't know when it'll happen. It might happen here. It might happen when you're driving home. It might happen when you wake up from a sleep. But it's going to all hit you. That God's been a part of the plan all along. That God's hand has been a part of everything in your life. Come on and give God a clap offering. Hallelujah. The book of Ruth is a classic model of connecting dots. If you open up the book of Ruth, it's not a long book, but it's a very powerful book. As you read in Ruth, the great love story, it's about four chapters. And here's how the love story begins. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Dot number one. The great love story that we, I know, Bishop, can you just get to the part when she falls in love with Boaz? But it don't start there. It starts with famine. Famine means there's no water. And when there's no water, there's no growth. And no growth means no food. And in Israel, it happened many times. It affected them. They were stuck depending on the agriculture. And so the story begins. The great love story begins with a famine. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he, his wife, and two sons. Do you see what happened? God used a famine to push this man to his destiny. You see, when you can't connect the dots, it seems as if the famine has pushed you to a place where you did not want to go or you didn't think you'd ever go. How many of you are in a place right now you said, I'd never go there? Oh, yeah. I'd never move there. I'd never work that kind of job. But God uses storms to blow us where we're supposed to be. God, why couldn't you use good things? Because you never would have went. But when a storm comes, many times a storm is so relentless that you have to move. If God dangled fruit before you, many of us wouldn't take it. So he has to push you to where you're supposed to be. Oh, so it starts out with loss. And they move. And the name of that man was Elimelech. That let us know that this is not a parable. These are real people. You know how they say in the movies, the names have been changed to protect the innocent? The names have not been changed. These are real people. Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came to the country of Moab and continued there. Well, that doesn't mean anything to you until you understand that this man was an Israelite and a Jew. The Moabites were enemies of Israel. They were a half-breed mongrel nation that Israel didn't have much to do with. But when you're struggling, sometimes you'll have to go places that you never thought you'd go. Oh, my God. Some of you have found yourself in some tough places. You said, I'd never, ever stoop down that low to take care of myself. You find yourself in a place where you had to stoop down that low, but you had to survive. They had to survive, so they ended up in Moab. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. The story keeps getting worse. Have you ever told yourself or just said it in the atmosphere? If one more thing happens, and some of you don't finish the line, but if one more thing happens, I'm going to hurt somebody. Or if one more thing happens, I'm going to lose my mind up in here. Up in here. Well, guess what? It starts out with famine. Then it moves to an unexpected move. I know I'm talking to someone here today. And then after I deal with loss of job and food, have to move to a strange place with strange people, then the principal breadwinner dies. And leaves me with these two boys. Now, really, the plot thickens here. These two boys found wives of the women of Moab. Yes, these heathen women, because there was no one else to hook up with. So they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, not Oprah. Orpah. And the name of the other girl was Ruth, Sister Kriachon. Amen. So we have Orpah and Ruth joining what looks to be a cursed family. Y'all had to leave your home. Your home was famine. You had to come to my home. And now the principal breadwinner is dead. And now we're going to marry your sons. Be careful what family you marry into. Because you're taking on everything that they are and they have. In fact, the names of the sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon's name means sickness. And Chilion's name means destruction. Here comes the bride. One marries sickness, and the other one marries destruction. Can you guess what happened? Both died. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Naomi's now lost her husband. She's lost her two sons. And she's got these two daughter-in-laws from Moab, from the ghetto. And I'm stuck. I just want you to know the first dot was the famine. Second dot was to go to Moab. The next dot was husband dies. The next dot, the two sons get married, and then the two sons die. Dot, 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 dot. By this time, there's no way you can envision a great love story coming out of this. Can I get a witness? And right now, some of you are right where Naomi was. I'm at a complete loss. I've lost everything, and it doesn't look like anything good's coming out of my life. She says, it's time for me to go back home. I had nothing but loss here in Moab. And I heard that things are better at home. And she went forth and she out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. She said to the girls, listen, girls, I understand y'all still young. And quite frankly, if you try to stay around for me to have two sons, I doubt if you would wait that long. And she was trying to make it easy for them to leave. And Orpah got the message. And she kissed her and said, deuces. Naomi said, go back home. Y'all perhaps can find a new man and a new life back home, but don't go with me. I ain't got nothing for you. And as Orpah turns and leaves, Orpah leaves, but she kisses her, but she still leaves. Ruth, however, had something in her. She had noticed something different about this family that was different than the Moabite heathens. And she said to Naomi as they lifted up their voices and cried, she said, I'm not going with Orpah. She said, don't ask me to leave you, for where you go, I'm going. Now watch as she prophesies, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Watch this prophetic word, and your people will be my people, and your God, my God. We serve strange gods where I'm from, but I want to serve your God. This is another dot in the story. And so when Naomi saw that she could not get her to leave, she said, well, come on, little girl. And when she went back to Bethlehem, the city was moved when they saw Naomi. And they asked in verse 19, is this Naomi? She went out full. She came back empty. She left with a husband and two sons. She's come back with a Moabite. And when they asked, is this Naomi? Naomi said unto them, don't call me Naomi anymore. You see, Naomi's name meant beautiful and pleasant. She said, but I'm not living up to my name anymore, but call me Mara, which means bitter. And she said this in her limited understanding of God, that God, the Almighty, hath dealt bitterly against me. And so many times when we're trying to figure out what God is doing, we point our finger at God and say, God is working against me. And God can handle your lack of understanding. And we'll let you go on accusing him of something he's not doing. And she said, God has dealt bitterly against me. But you know what? God ain't tripping off of your ignorance. Thank God. Because I've spoken some crazy stuff over the years. But God did not listen to my ignorance. He let her go on in her lack of understanding. She returned with Ruth. And they returned from Moab. And they came at the beginning of the harvest season. Now watch here as the dots get thicker and bigger. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's. You see, Naomi had not factored in certain things. And that is that her husband had family. And she said, God hath dealt bitterly against me. And there was a kinsman of her husband. Now remember what Ruth said. Your people will be my people. So for the good or the bad, I'm taking your people on. And you sisters and you brothers, when you marry, just remember, you're just not marrying them. You're marrying all the folk in their family. You're marrying the cholos or the cartels and the gangbangers. And the wealthy and the rich ones and the crazy ones. Your people are my people. But I'm here to tell you, God knows how to make sense out of the crazy stuff. Glory to God. Look what he did with you. Somebody shout yes. Ruth Moabite said, let me go into the field. I got to work now. My man is gone. The thrill is gone. I got to go to work. You know, sometimes you can't figure this life out. My God, I had plans, but now I got to go to work. I thought my man was going to take care of me, but my man is dead. Now I got to go to work. I could stay at home and hope for something to happen, but nothing's going to happen until you make it happen. Because faith without works is dead. She said, well, I've got to get in the field. I could stay at home and hope for a Boaz. Or I could get out there and work, and maybe with me working, I can catch the attention of a Boaz. Oh, glory to God. And she said to Naomi, let me go to the field. Maybe I can find some grace from your family. She went out and went in the field. You're always going to find grace when you work. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're going to get the right attention if you know how to work. Don't nobody want nobody that can't clean the house, can't cook, don't want to work, woo, can't cut the grass, can't put a light bulb in the screw. Ain't nobody got time for that. Wonderful things happen when you work. My God. Let me just help you. She went into the field that belonged to Boaz. Let me just give you this tip. It won't cost you anything. If you want to get somebody's attention, you got to go into the field that they're in. Oh, y'all didn't catch it. My. You want to marry a preacher? You see, there's a young preacher, always show up when he's preaching. Go to the Bible study when he's teaching. Show up at the prayer meeting. You got to get in the field at the end. You want a football player? Get in the field he's in. Y'all didn't catch it. What did Ruth do? She went in his field. That's a revelation. That'll cost you $100 at a matchmaking service. I gave you that for free. She said, let me go in this field. And she gleaned after the reapers. And the Bible says in verse 3, her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Number she happened to, but how many know nothing just happens in the kingdom of God? And she got into a part of the field that belonged to Boaz, who was a kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he saw the reapers. And then Boaz said to his servants, whose damsel is this? My God. She caught his attention. They said that was the girl, that damsel that came from Moab. And she came with Naomi and was so dedicated to her that she followed her here. Then she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers. And so she came and hath continued even from the morning till now. She tarried a little in the house. Boaz said to Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in nobody else's field. You don't have to play the field anymore. Don't go to any other fields. Stay right here. When you find who you want, you don't need to play no other fields. Because I found who my soul loveth. And he said, abide here fast by the other maidens. And let your eyes be on the field that they do reap. Go after them. And I told the young men not to mess with you. My God, but let you do what you need to do in my field. And when you get thirsty, go on and get you a drink. She fell on her face and bowed to the ground, said, why have I found grace in your eyes, seeing I'm a stranger? And Boaz said, it has been shown to me all the good that you've done to your mother-in-law. Let me just tell you, God will not forget your labor of love. My God, God will always remember the good you've done. The devil will try to tempt you and tell you that God has not taken notice of the good you've done. But God keeps good books. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Because in due season, somebody shout due season, you will reap if you faint not. Here's Ruth reaping. Glory to God. When she committed to stay with Naomi, she didn't know what it would bring her. All she knew was that I need to stick with this mighty woman of God. So she works in the field. Notice all of the dots. Don't leave me, because I got a surprise ending for you. If you leave the story, you're going to miss the surprise ending. And so Boaz says unto her, I'm going to look out for you. And in verse 15, in chapter 2, she was risen up to glean. Boaz commanded the young men, let her glean among the sheaves and don't mess with her. Apparently, Boaz was an old guy. And he told the young men, don't y'all mess with her. Don't y'all try and impress her and stress her and try to give her your number. Leave her alone. Yeah. And let fall also some of the handfuls on purpose for her. And leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. You know what he is saying? When you're reaping, young man, I don't want you to put all of it in your bag, but leave some of it in the ground so that when she come behind you, she don't have to struggle. Lord, help me right now. Ruth is in a strange land. She don't know nobody. But because the hand of God is on her, he makes sure that there are certain things that are done on purpose for her. When it looks like it just happened, nothing just happens. It happened on purpose. God will let someone lose a $50 bill in the parking lot on purpose so that you could have some food for you and your babies. Come on and shout yes. After you serve God a while, you'll start to understand. You won't say, wow, I'm lucky. You'll say, it's God working on purpose. My God, you serve God for a while, you'll find out that God hides beauty behind ugliness. My God, he hides purpose behind problems. And it was all on purpose. Somebody was gleaning and working, but they dropped some grain on purpose. I pray that after this message, you'll quit saying, ain't I lucky? You'll start to say, that was on purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody's loss will be your gain. My God. Somebody's trash will be your treasure. Hey, glory to God. My God, we just got married. We ain't got no furniture. And we driving through the alley. And someone just threw out a table. And it's in good shape. It happened on purpose. You ain't ready for me today. Somebody shout, connect the dots. Hallelujah. I had to be in this neighborhood at this right time so that I could go down this road at the very time when they dropped it in the trash. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Come on and clap your hands. Give me a little more volume there. I'm about to go crazy up in here. And she gleaned and gleaned in the field to the evening. And she still kept working. And she got what she needed. And she brought it home to Naomi. Naomi said, where did you glean today? She said, guess what? I gleaned in Boaz's field. Boaz, not broke ass, Boaz. Y'all not ready. I found Boaz's field. And Naomi said, well, blessed be he of the Lord. I see that God still has some kindness left. And she said, girl, do you not know that he is a near kinsman to us? And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, that thou should stay by the young men until they have ended all my harvest. Naomi said unto Ruth, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Now, you notice what she said? She said, go out with his maidens. In other words, I'm not worried about you getting lost in the crowd with other girls. Because what God has for you, oh, help me. Some of y'all missed it. She said, going out there with all the other girls. Because I ain't worried about the other girls. Because what God has designed for you has your name on it. And you can reap with 10,000 girls. But if God's got a blessing for you, he'll go through a crowd of good looking girls to find you. Come on and give God a praise. Hey! You don't have to steal. You don't have to lie. Woo, to get what's yours. She said, go out with all the mother girls. It's all good. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said, now listen, I want you to do something. I want you to go out to the field. And when he's winnowing the barley at night on the threshing floor, when he's beating the barley to get through the chaff and get to the meat of the wheat, she said, wash yourself, get yourself ready, and anoint yourself and put some new clothes on. And when he got some drink in him, just go and sneak in and lay at his feet. You see, in Jewish tradition, they had ways of you letting your intentions be made known. And this was one way she could let her intentions be made known. And she laid at his feet. And the old man was shocked when he saw a young girl laying at his feet. And he said, my God, I'm so honored. Because there's a lot of young men in town that you would probably want to run after. In verse number 10 of chapter 3, blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for you have showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, in that you follow us not young men, whether poor or rich, which means you want an old guy like me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. What God has for you is you, even with your old stank self. You got to connect the dots. If you worry about what other folks say, you're going to miss your blessing. Help me, Holy Ghost. But if you will connect the dots, you got to remember, Ruth already had a young man. And he was weak and sickly. So she know, I've been down young road. And young is dead. Y'all ain't ready. But you old and you look very much alive. Thank you, Jesus. And now, my daughter, don't fear. I'm going to check and see if I can marry you. He checked in the city because they had rules and regulations. And if there's another kinsman, then he has to redeem you and raise up children in the name of your husband who died. He found that kinsman. He said, listen, player, listen. There's a young girl in town and she's related to you and you're the nearer cousin than I am. And by rights, you have the right. And the guy said, yes. He said, oh, but by the way, not only do you have to take on the inheritance and the land that they owned, but she needs to get a husband because he died. You got to marry her. He said, oh, hold up. I got a wife and I got kids. So you can have that, bro. It's all yours. Amen. Boaz said, yes. He went back to the elders of the city, said, hey, the other guy that was supposed to redeem her can't. He's got issues. You see, God will set stuff up for you if you connect the dots. And it'll create problems for some folk so they won't get to you. Oh, glory to God. He'll block some things. So they won't mess up your blessing. And they won't understand what's going on. But all you got to do is say, I see the dots. And so Boaz went down and told them that I'm the man. And sure enough, he's the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Boaz takes the young girl and marries her. What a love story. He purchases all of her debts and all of her land. And he raises up a family in their name. What a beautiful love story. Here this man has taken on this girl that came with problems, came with issues and circumstances, and he takes her on. Poor little girl who's out in the field trying to pick up some money, trying to earn some minimum wage, and the guy that owns the business picks her up and marries her. She's no longer the waitress, but she's the owner of the business. She was a waitress, and now she owns it. Hallelujah. She can come out to the field with the boss man now. The same place I used to pick up, I now own it. What a mighty God we serve. Every young girl should want to see her life end up that way. It starts out with famine. It goes to moving. It goes to death. It goes to going back. It goes to working in a field. My God. And then having your dreams perhaps dashed when you find out there's somebody else who actually might be in the way. But you pray that night, Lord God, please, let Boaz be the man. And God works it out. And the next thing we know, it's here comes the bride. Come on and give God a clap. But wait a minute. You're leaving too soon. Here's the rest of the story. I told you, you're not going to understand God till you connect the dots. The dots don't start when they had to leave and go to Moab. But the dots begin in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, when Lot is running out of Sodom and Gomorrah. When God rains down fire and destroys the city, and Lot takes his wife and two daughters and runs for the hills. And his wife looks back and turns to a pillar of salt, thinking, what's happening to my Louboutin shoes? What's happening to my Chanel and my Carolyn Herrera? And she gets stuck looking back. Lot runs to the mountains with his daughters. And they see their old hometown blow up in smoke. As the days go by, the girls say, we in trouble. Because we have no husbands and the name of our family is going up in smoke down there. So they conspired a plan. Let's get daddy drunk and let's both have a baby by our daddy. Lord, help me right now. We don't know the name of the daughters. We know the name of the father, Lot. They got him drunk, and one took the daddy one night, and the other one took the daddy the other night. Well, the story goes, they both had babies. One named her baby Ammon.
Right.
And the other one named her baby Moab.
Right. Preach, Bishop.
Moab. Did you miss the dot? The great love story of Ruth and Boaz started in a cave with incest. And one of the babies born was named Moab from which nation Ruth was born. No Moab, no Ruth. And you thought, there's no way any good can come out of what happened in my family. What happened to me, no good can come out of it. But if you connect the dots, you'll see that God can make the best out of the worst.
Come on.
Oh, help me, Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And I guarantee you, if you'll sit down and look at your life and start connecting the dots, what you thought was tragedy is going to end up being triumph.
Yes.
You can't tell me that incest is going to end up good. Yeah, see, it socked you in the stomach, didn't it? Some of you trying to catch yourself right now. God said, put that in the scriptures. Oh, you love that Cinderella, Ruth, and Boaz story. Ruth's great, 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 great granddaddy was Lot, who had children with his daughters. And that's where Ruth came from. That's the girl that Boaz fell in love with. Connect oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got another dot for you. Are y'all with me?
Come on, Bishop.
So Ruth and Boaz do the wild thing. And they have a child. Thank you, Jesus. We got rid of the curse because Ruth didn't have any kids from the old sickly guy. But she marries an old man and they have a child. And they named the child Obed. Hallelujah. But guess what? Here's another dot. Obed had a child. And the child was named Jesse. Well, hallelujah. And then Jesse had a bunch of boys.
Yes.
And the last of his boys is named David.
Come on.
Lord, have mercy. Have you ever wondered why David was such a worshiper? Because when David connected the dots and he saw where he came from, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my higher.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And then, in eternity past, God looks over his master plan. And his master plan says, I'm coming to planet Earth to save humanity. But I got to come and take on a body.
Right.
So when I take on the body, I got to come through a tribe. I just can't show up. I got to make myself a part of the people I'm saving. He became a roach to save roaches. And when he looked and saw, what family am I going to step into, Lord God Almighty? He chose a family that had incest in
it. My goodness.
He chose the family with sickness and disease.
Right.
And death. And said, that's the family I'm coming through.
My goodness.
And you think God can't save in your family?
Jesus.
Jesus. Of all the families in the earth, God says, I'm coming through that family. The tribe of Judah. Maybe that's why that tribe is called Praise. You see, I hate it when we have church and we have to make people praise the Lord. Come on, y'all. Lift these up. What are these? Hasn't the Lord been good? Come on. I'm like, why do we have to go through that? All you got to do is connect the dots. So from now on, Instead of telling everybody to raise your hands, tell them, connect the dots for a moment, y'all. And when you connect the dots in your life, nobody will have to tell you to praise God. God's been good to me. Hey! Hallelujah! He took mess and made a miracle. He takes your mess and gives you a message.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And you'll step back and say, oh my God. That's what you were doing all along. I thought it was just chaos until I started connecting the dots.
Yes, yes.
Somebody here is mad at God because you're stuck on one dot. You're stuck on the death dot, the loss dot, the bankruptcy dot, the incest dot, the rape dot, the murder. Y'all not hearing me. The murder dot. And you're stuck on one. And God is saying, but connect the next one. And the next one. Oh, yama. You don't have to live long before you start seeing, oh my God, I missed it all along. I was blaming you and I should have been praising you. I was angry at you and I should have been thanking God. You ought to thank God for the stuff he didn't let happen. And here's where you know you've gone to a new level. When you can thank him for what happened. Oh, God. See, Naomi said, God has dealt bitterly with me, against me. She didn't realize that God was working for her all along. He was about to connect Naomi to King David, and she didn't know it. So God, he's okay with you not getting him right. God said, just wait. Just wait. I'm going to bring this preacher that's going to tell you to do something. Like a little kitty. And I want you to take an afternoon when you ain't doing nothing. I don't want you watching Game of Thrones. No binge, nothing. Shut your phone off. Glory to God. Go to Mission Beach. And if you got to write, write. But start connecting. Oh, glory to God. And you might lose it on the beach. When you see, I wasn't against you all along. I was saving you. I'm saving you 10 years of counseling sessions right now. Give me that money right now. 10 years of counseling. $100 a session. 12 months in a year. That's $1,200. Over 10 years of $12,000. Bring it up here. I just saved you 10 years of counseling. Of asking a psychoanalyst why. You got your answer here.
That's right. Come on.
There's order in the chaos.
That's right.
Oh, God.
Order in the chaos.
Who am I talking to today? Just don't get stuck too long on a dot. Just please move from the dot, because a dot by itself will bring you depression and it don't make sense by itself. So you have to see the dot in relation to all the other dots. You know what the devil does to your mind? He gets you stuck on one thing and have you depressed. And he's not letting you see how that connected.
Jesus is coming in your line. He's stepping in your family tree. In case you didn't know, he's stepping in your mess. And you'll wake up one day and say, my God, this is a beautiful story. I hope you never look at Ruth and Boaz the same way ever again. I don't know who you are today, but here's your moment. Maybe you're struggling with a dot. You know, I'm trying to put it in a way that you can relate. I'm stuck at a dot, Bishop. Can you pray me off a dot? Because I'm stuck. I need to get unstuck from a place. Just run up here right now. Come on. There's help in the sanctuary for you today.
Yes.
Come on. I'm going to push you off a dot. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Just line up across the front here. Hot Yabasika. I'm a dot specialist.
Come on.
Unstuck dot. Come. Off a dot. That's good, Dante. I feel something right now. Thank you, Jesus. I feel a deliverance in this place. I know it's an unusual message, preached in an unusual way. But somehow that's how God has to get to us. Hey, most of us are like Naomi, and we're stuck on a dot. She was stuck at, you done took my husband and my boys. What did I do to you? And God let her stay there till he began showing her the glory. So today, I'm God's agent. I'm acting as his agent today to hopefully open up your eyes to see the master plan that God had in his mind all along. And here's your assignment today. You've got to incorporate other dots. You've got to accept the other things, because if you don't, it'll look unfair. It'll look unfair. You've got to believe that the other stuff mattered. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to come by, just going to touch you lightly. But that touch is God saying, move off the dot. Move today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.